We're live.
We're live. Episode 9.
Yeah, we're going to do something different today. We are done with structure, at least for this episode. We're going to flush the format, if you will, and just chat for an hour-ish about whatever we want to talk about. You know, we have some ideas, some things we wanted to explore, but this is not going to be structured. Probably going to be a little chaotic. If you watched our last live book talk about our recent book club pick, it won't be that chaotic. So you don't have to worry there, but definitely a different approach to this episode. So give us some feedback and let us know if this is more of the content you're looking for, which is just two friends hanging out, talking about books.
I think I like it because anytime you talk about books, it's a good time. So let's flush this format.
Yeah, I think this is for the best. We are entering into a month where we got a lot going on, and I don't have time to come up with some curated crap to put out here into this space. That's not what this is about. That's not why we started it. That's not what we want to do. We have some of the best conversations, guests, when we are off the air.
And so let's record it.
Why aren't we recording these? We definitely have to get to that point.
I mean, we've only chatted for an hour and a half before we actually hit record.
Hopefully this one, we don't run out of time. We got a couple hours left, so we should be. I also wanted to chat about some changes coming up for the podcast, most notably more episodes like this, less structured. I'd love some engagement with the listeners. Tell us what you want us to talk about. Do you want us to do reading unhinged books? Send us some recs. I will read them. I can't promise. Look, I try to give her good books and she doesn't read them. So, or she doesn't enjoy them. I'll read anything as long as it's a palate cleanser and silly and stupid. Cyril, that's for you because you send me recommendations every week of the dumbest books. And I'm always so tempted to grab five of them and do a little segment. So who knows? We might do that. But what do you want to hear more about? What are you getting from other podcasts or other types of content that you want your good friends Ashley and Caleb to talk about?
Right. Because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we could talk about.
Let's find out.
Let's go.
The other change coming soon in some future episodes is we're going to try and get some video format going. I think you're missing a huge element of what makes this podcast so fun for us, which is our faces.
My face.
Specifically, she does not have a filter. So if I say something, her face is going to react.
Absolutely.
It's fun. It's fun to watch.
What was the one when you read about the demons and all this stuff?
It was something, and you kept going, gross, but her face.
Yes.
Kept getting more and more scrunched up. It was a good time. So that's some changes coming up for future episodes. We're already on episode 9.
I still can't believe. How are we on 9?
I don't know, but we lost track last time. We thought we were on like 10 or 11. We're on 9, very securely on episode 9, but.
That's wild.
So much longer than I thought. And do we have thousands of people listening to us?
No.
Do we care?
No.
We're having a good time.
Absolutely.
And for the people that are listening, we love you. Thank you for supporting us as friends and coworkers and strangers that have stumbled upon this. We appreciate you all. That's enough sappy stuff. And now it is time to chat about our biggest event we've done since starting this. Our readathon.
Spring cleaning.
When you are listening to this podcast, you are going to be a little over a week away from the start of the readathon. And we're so excited. You're going to have some content on our socials over the next week here. You're going to start seeing our bingo board, our prompts, and something pretty to look at. It's April 20th through the 27th, and we are focusing on books that we own, whether that be on Kindle or physical format, where you got the Audible 6 years ago and you never listened to it. I got at least two of those. I got some sci-fi that I was in my sci-fi mode and then I didn't. I'm not in my sci-fi mode anymore. We wanted to talk about a couple of the prompts and some books that maybe we are hopeful to get to. I'll let you kick off.
A book that's been on your TBR forever.
I've got too many and I don't know where to start. My problem is this is a week, it's 8 days. And the one I want to put on there is too big, but it's been on there for a very long time.
But if you read your audio on 3x speed, you should have it done in a day, right?
not a day, at least three. It is Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. It's a Susanna Clark. She wrote a book called Pure Nessie. Love it. Got this book at Goodwill, $4 or something like that. And it's in decent shape, but it's Sanderson big. And it's not the kind of fantasy. It's got a historical setting and it's going to be layered. And Susanna Clark just hasn't written anything else since that Pure Nessie. And then she has this little book that came out this year that I read that I didn't understand. And I know why. There was an article that came out recently about some conditions with her health after she posted that huge book, had a massive success. Then she basically did nothing for over a decade because she's been struggling with her health. And so, like, part of me is like, A, I want it off my list. B, I want to see what's there. I loved Pure Nessie. Pure Nessie is not for everybody. I would not recommend it to you. You love character-driven stories. This one is completely character-driven and hard to follow. Maybe you'd like it. Let's try. What's been on your shelf forever?
The Children of Blood and Bone series. So that second book, Virtue and Vengeance, that one has been on my shelf for a very long time. And I feel like it's time to have that one be read. So I think that's the one I'm going to use for that. I did have Love Songs of W.E.B. Du Bois, but that book's too big. It's too big and it's too heavy, and I don't think that it would actually fit for that week. I'm probably have to move that to like a summer month or something.
I was curious because I straight up read the sentence of the book title on there, and then you said a different book, and I'm like, what?
You're like, wait, that is not what you said. Yeah, I just recently changed my mind within the 3 seconds that you asked me that. It is going to be Virtue and Vengeance, Children of Virtue and Vengeance. Tommy Adeyemi is going to fill that prompt for me.
See, now here's another thing. It's a bingo board, right? There's another prompt that says read a sequel of a series you've already started. You can kill two.
I have something already there, though.
But I think you're going to finish that before that even starts.
No, I have something else already there. Okay. But we're not on that prompt yet.
I'm going to try and double up on prompts because as much as I am going to read at least a couple books that week, 2 to 3 probably, I want to try and hit as many prompts as possible.
And you know, for me, this is going to be interesting because it takes me about 4 to 5 days to read one book. So
you can get a couple in.
We'll see.
And that also depends on, like, we're mood readers. We're going to talk about that at some point today, I'm sure. We might not want to read any of the books that we are talking about right now.
It could very much happen.
Because let me tell you what happened at the beginning of this month. I'm coming off of a high of finishing Mistborn last month. And then I read a book that is standalone in Brandon Sanderson's Cosmere called Warbreaker. And let me tell you, I was not expecting to like it as much as I did. And now I can do nothing but read other Sanderson books. I'm on Stormlight book 2, and I'm not the kind of person that does book after book in a series, but I don't want to read anything else. And I DNF'd 2 good books that I know I'm going to love. So they're soft DNFs. But like, I was listening to it and I'm just going, it's that meme of like when you're walking with a girl and another girl walks past. That's me with every Sanderson book. And I'm just like, but I could be reading. I'm also worried because my goal is to finish the Cosmere this year. It's a lot of books. They're big books. But what am I going to do when I'm done?
Sounds like you're already leading towards a reading slump. Does this technically count as a reading slump because you only want to read?
It's a reading obsession.
Oh, well, that's definitely different. Yeah.
At some point, it could hurt.
You know, The Way of Kings, is that one of his? It's actually out there on the shelf right now. I saw it and it was huge, like literally this big.
That's the first book. Okay. Stormlight. So I'm on book 2.
Did you read that one yet?
Yeah.
Well, then it wouldn't help to have it.
No, I have the other one from here. I got the other. It's Words of Radiance, 1,080 pages.
That's a lot of pages.
It's 48 hours on audio, and I'm already 20-something percent through it, and I started yesterday. I'm obsessed. And listen, I'm not saying Sanderson is the best author out there. I am personally just obsessed with it, and I feel stupid because I got to it so late, and now I'm just like obsessed with the fandom, and I'm checking out all of the content and getting deeper.
So I totally have a question.
Yeah.
What sparked this?
I don't know.
Like, was it just one day where you're like, oh, I'm going to read Mistborn?
I bought Mistborn in mass market paperback because everybody talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody talks about Brandon Sanderson. Before this, I had read special projects, which are standalones that exist within this universe.
Mm-hmm.
And they're different than any of the other books he puts out. But I liked three of the four that came up.
Mm-hmm.
They were all very different, but I liked the type of storytelling and the way he wrote his characters. So I'm like, I have Mistborn. Let mm-hmm. me do that. So I did it. And then it was done. It was
and
a
you
wrap.
Just couldn't stop from there.
No, okay. I did. I took a break. And so I did that in November of last year. I don't think I read until January of this year. So we had like a month in between, which I wasn't planning on picking it up. Mm-hmm. I started like, well, it'd be cool to do the Cosmere in a year. It rhymes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves that alliteration. And then I was like, that's one book a month that I can get through 12 books, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not every book in the Cosmere, but there's five books in Stormlight.
Mm-hmm.
There's three books in the first era, so there's eight. I could do the second era as well. I think there's four. That would get me to 12, but then there's books in between. So I could do here and there. This is my fifth book I'm on now. We're not even 4 months through. So I think I'll be six-ish books, especially with the ones I found at the library today.
You can have it done by summer.
I don't know about that.
You could.
Because I'm thinking,
if you're not reading anything else, you have to read the book club books.
I know.
You have to read those.
But that's what shot me in the foot with the last month. I waited too long to read The Lion Women of Tehran. And then I was in my hangover from Sanderson. And I was like, I don't read this. But I did.
But it was a good book.
It was a good book. I'm mm-hmm. not saying these aren't good books.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, I don't want to read them.
Well, you have to read them.
I know. I'm looking at reading 150 books this year. Mm-hmm. The goal was 100.
Okay.
But the way I'm pacing should be 150. I think the most I've ever had is 180 something in a year. It's a lot of books, but I get these little novellas that I can fly through.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know what's going to disrupt me. I fall apart in the summer. We're traveling. We've
got
two vacations.
Outside stuff. And
we're camping. We're two vacations this year. And that's like, yeah, you can take your book and read at the beach. I got kids. Mm-hmm. I can't take my eyes off them to read. Or put headphones on. It scares me. Number one, people. Number two, drowning. I fell in the ocean last year. It took my knee out. And everybody thought I was just having a good time. I was rolling in the water, drowning. And they just left me, Ashley. They left me. Oh, he's having a great time. No, he's drowning. He's dying before your eyes. I'm glad everybody's smiling and waving back. It was so stupid.
I can just see you doing that now.
I have a weak knee because I'm 108. But man, there was riptides and I turned sideways.
Oh.
It took my knee and just dislocated it, pulled it back in.
That's painful.
It was brutal.
Now you're going to have people scared to go to the ocean.
You should be. The ocean is the most terrifying thing that exists in the universe. Space is less scary, people. Just saying.
And this is why we flushed the format.
Y'all, we got through one prompt.
This is fun.
All that to say, I'm obsessed with Sanderson and I don't know what I'm reading.
And, you know, this actually brings me to, was it last week? When we talked about the tables when I was in Barnes and there was the table for Sanderson and literally right across from it was the Sarah Moss table. So I feel like it's in the same space because you read the ACOTAR series. And then from there, apparently you read
Throne
of Glass. And then there's like, what, 12?
Crescent City, 11 or 12.
Is there, how many books? I think it's 10.
Throne of Glass?
It's a lot of books.
Please hold. We're flush the format. Books and Throne of Glass. There we go.
I feel like
it's only eight, y'all.
Oh,
we don't
eight.
Know what we're doing.
Okay.
Seven main books, one novella.
Okay. So, and the novella, is that the Assassin's Blade? Because I think that's actually a part in it.
That might be it. The Assassin's Blade is the novella. I thought that was the first book.
No. See, the thing is, you can read it in different places. So you can read it first, or you can read it third, or you can read it fourth or fifth.
I bought the digital Kindle bundle. So mm-hmm. we have all the books. It's not for me. But Emily loves Sarah Moss, mm-hmm. and she wants to read this. We have all of those. Mm-hmm. She's read everything but the last book in ACOTAR.
Okay.
She hasn't touched Crescent City, but we own them. Mm-hmm. She's just ready to go there. I'm like, you have the digital books. You can start anytime you want.
I have that one on mine, too. I have the digital. So A Court of Wings and Ruin has been sitting on my quarterly bookshelf, whatever, to be read by my workspace, desk space. That book has been sitting on my shelf since December. I don't know why I haven't picked it up yet, but I know it's going to be a good book.
See, that's how you can tell it's not Sanderson. Because you wouldn't be able to help yourself.
But it's the mood thing.
Yeah, I know.
So like for me, I have been in my historical fiction, literary fiction. I'm in those bigger books. That's the space I'm in right now.
Yeah.
I just haven't picked it up. I want to read it. I'm very excited to read it. I just haven't picked it up.
I'm hoping this readathon can flush some of this out of my system.
I'm not going to make it in a week.
No, not that one.
I'm not going to make any of...
To pick. Yeah, you will. As long as you don't get FOMO. That's what I worry about. I have about 70 books on my shelves at home that I've collected over the years. I don't know where to start because I bought all those books because I'm excited about them. Mm-hmm. When I look at them, it's the Marie Kondo. Does it bring me joy? They all kind of bring me joy, mm-hmm. but like which one sparks something in me? And I'm like, grab it, go. But I have to grab it and just leave. Because if I keep looking, then
you're
going
to find something else.
Oh, that one. And uh-huh. then you're competing. And guess what? You're not going to read either.
That's like the guy on Instagram who he's very popular for how he picks his next read. I have to see if I can find like one of his reels. I don't know exactly his tag or anything, but I always scroll through and it's like, well, how do you pick your next read? And he's like, I go and I stare at my bookshelf and then I go to the bookstore.
I did watch this one.
He says, I go to the bookstore and buy three more books. You know, that's true. I mean, it's something we'll talk about a little bit further down, but I feel like that's how it really goes. You look at your shelf, you have your so-called, I want to read this. And it's like, oh no, but look over there. And you want to just grab that book.
But let's be clear, you're not allowed. This readathon has rules.
If I don't buy a book.
No. I said it has to book you already.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So library, you can't do that.
But I'm not buying it.
I don't care. You don't already own it. So y'all
but
keep
I mean,
her honest.
I do have like 300 books on my Kindle though.
And that's the problem. I've got 70 books there plus all my Kindles plus all my Audibles. Why haven't I picked them up yet? I don't know. I've been doing really good about reading my new releases from the library and I've been keeping up with it. So like, I feel like I just need to stop going to the library for like this month
and that's
prioritize.
That's the opposite of me because I'm getting books from the library and we come here every other week, essentially. I will hold that book for a month. And today, the one that I got, I just returned them.
Did you read it?
No, I didn't open either one. They just sat in my bag that I bring here. And I didn't open it.
I do that a lot. I have an emotional support stack of books that I carry around with me. They're library books, usually. And they're books I'm hyped to read. I have a Sanderson in there, which I'm not reading much with my eyes. I'm listening. But I like the book to immersive read. We can talk about that in a little bit.
I love immersive reading.
Yeah. And doing that. And like, I've been going through those books, prioritizing those. So it's time for us to prioritize our actual bookshelf era. Let's find a way to find those books that we spent our money on. And let's get them out of here. I want them on my red shelf. No more to be read.
I found a book I want to get.
You're not allowed to buy it. Y'all.
You're going to laugh at the book. It's on sale for $1.99, which means I have to get it. The Strawberry Patch Pancake House.
Is that in that cinnamon bun?
It's only $1.99, which means I have to get it.
Did you even like the cinnamon bun bookshop?
I liked that one. I didn't like the Christmas tree one.
Oh, the second.
I didn't like the Christmas. So I didn't like the first one. I didn't like the third one. But I liked whichever one the cinnamon one was. I liked the cinnamon
two.
One. I think it was two. And this will be book four. How can you not like a book about a strawberry patch and it has pancakes?
Ridiculous.
This is where my brain goes.
I promise you, we'll do the right thing during the readathon. I can't vouch for her up until the 20th. So
then this just means that I buy these books before the 20th, because then that still counts. Girl math. They're already on my shelf.
Can't take her anywhere. You're not wrong, though, because I think I'm going to buy a couple. I just bought books today at the library sale. They were cheap.
Okay.
And they had two Sanderson books. What am I supposed to do with that? Plus two more books in a series.
They are cute, though. They are cute Sanderson books. They're little itty-bitty tiny ones.
Did Caleb buy a book he already owns?
You sure did.
I did, but it's hardcover, and I got paperbacks at home. So I will then take the paperback that I very recently bought, and I will take that back. But it's only $5 for the other paperback, too. So I'll get that to somebody else.
Okay, so...
It's the third book, though. That's the problem.
Another question. Paperback or hardback?
Save that.
No!
We haven't even gotten through... Geez. We are...
That is a major question. Would you rather have a paperback or a hardcover? And why?
We will revisit because I have a unique answer to that.
Okay, fine.
Thank you.
The next prompt.
I don't need... And we're not going through all of them.
A book you've been avoiding.
Well, I already know what book you've been avoiding.
Absolutely.
So which one is it going to be?
Well,
it has to be Mistborn.
It has to be Mistborn, but it won't get finished in that week.
No, but that's why I told you to start today so you can finish it in that week and it'll count.
But I'm currently reading Bloodmarked.
Okay, finish Bloodmarked. Yeah,
I
because
have
you
10
can't
hours
do both
left.
Of those. It's because you listen at one time speed.
Correction, 1.5.
Which I'm pretty sure is
that's an
direct
increase.
Influence.
It's an
because
increase.
Because you were at like 1.1.
No, I was 1.2. Oh,
okay. She's doubled her speed, y'all.
Absolutely. And I think I have hit my sweet spot. I can't go any further than 1.5
yet.
Because it's just too much going on at once.
You're going to train your brain, and then your brain's going to be like, why are you reading at this slow speed? And you're going to turn it up a little bit.
Mm-mm.
You're going to turn it up a little. I don't think you're ever going to be at a 3. I'm going to be honest. I turn mine down quite a bit because 3, if I'm not in the perfect space, it's too fast. I think 2 is a great spot. 1.75 to 2.
2 is way too fast.
You'll get there.
I can't do 2.
It also depends on the books. Like, I feel like when you read literary books, 2 wouldn't be that much of a struggle.
But when I read the books, there's usually too much going on at once.
Periphery, like stimulus around you.
Yes.
Okay, that's fair.
Because when I listen to my books, I am usually trying to listen while working.
I don't know how you do that.
I don't either. You know, having the role that I have in trying to listen to a book is very interesting.
Counterintuitive for sure, because you're constantly being interrupted.
Absolutely. Constantly. However, if I have a project or a report that needs to be done, I can make maybe a couple chapters, but I don't get very far. The most I read is usually at night.
Yeah,
I definitely
too.
Love reading at night and weekend. I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit and read my books.
I am constantly in the car. So I do
my
audiobooks.
I don't want to do anything. Like, I mean, I actually physically picked up Bloodmarked yesterday and I'm on the couch like reading, legit reading. I have laundry to get done. I have food to cook. I didn't want to move. But back to our prompt. Mistborn.
Okay.
Probably won't get there, but that's my hopeful.
I'll accept it. The book I have been avoiding on my TBR. I have a couple books that I bought when BAM was doing that buy one, get two.
Mm-hmm.
And they're books that normally I wouldn't have even thought about. So I'm just going to say there's 3 books. One is called Horseman. One is called 12 Nights at Rotherhouse, which I have to even double check if I finished that one or not. I might have read that one. And then there's another one, Ghost Tree. They're all little horror books that don't take much, but I'm going to be taking an approach of read it or DNF it because I need to get it off my shelf. They're sitting there. I don't think any of them are going to blow me away. I just want them gone. And if I like them, I like them. If I don't, I don't. I'm thinking about The Horseman because it's like a Headless Horseman, you know, Sleepy Hollow kind of thing. And maybe that'll be fun. I don't know. I'm looking for something light and fun that's not going to take me 10 hours, especially if I target a bigger book for some of the other prompts.
So maybe I need to change mine to novella.
You do have any novellas?
No.
Then why would you change it?
I could find some novellas.
We're not adding to the list before we do the spring cleaning. That's like saying, I got a bunch of stuff in the garage, but let me go buy a bunch of new stuff before I clean out the garage.
That would technically work, though.
Lord save me. She ain't going to read a single book she says in this.
Probably not.
And probably not either. This short book or novella is on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say a short book qualifies as anything under 200 pages.
The Strawberry Patch book is 384.
That's a normal size book. In paperback format, that's a long book, in my opinion. It's not fantasy long. But like in terms of like the sweet spot is 250 to 350 is like a normal book.
I don't think I have any books like that.
See, you don't do a lot of novellas. You've said that before.
Somebody's really excited outside.
I know. So if anybody heard some kid screaming out there on our podcast, Shout out to the random kid in Avon. But yeah, I've got Angela Carter. I picked it up when I went to the Sandusky Book Bar. Mm-hmm. Remember I sent you that picture?
Mm-hmm.
Such a cool place. Just too far away.
Yeah, it is pretty far. But I don't think I ever go to Sandusky, honestly.
Me neither. Cedar Point. And I ain't been there in years.
Decades.
Yeah, high school. I went right after. It was one of me and Emily's first dates.
I remember taking my nephew. How old was he? I feel like he was maybe a teenager.
One of my early dates, I called off work to go mm-hmm. with Emily. She had season passes. I was just trying to impress the girl. I call off work. I have no money. I spent all my money to get the ticket. She's there with her sister. And this is how long it's been. Her sister was like 12. Braces, maybe 13. She will be turning 29 next month. So.
Oh, wow. So, yeah.
It's been a very long time. It's been a long time. We're going to take the kids at some point. It's a lot of fun, but we don't get to Sandusky. It's about an hour and 20 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
A short book or novella. Angela Carter. She's a classic horror writer who I'd never heard of. This book, apparently, it's The Chamber of Blood or Blood Chamber, something like that. It's like a Clive Barker, old school Dracula look to the cover. It's a horror story and got a great introduction. I've already started it, but wasn't feeling it. So put it down. I think that's one that I want to get off the list because it knocks out A, I want to read some classics,
mm-hmm.
and B, it's short.
So I got a great idea.
What you got?
I could just read thrillers.
Because they don't take a single bit of brain power.
And I can usually read a thriller in a day or a day and a half.
Yeah, because I you don't own it. I got a thriller recommendation.
What is it?
The Last Word by Taylor Adams.
No, I don't have that one. I've never even heard of that one.
It was so good. It's good because it twists and turns, and mm-hmm. the twists and turns never stop. And when you think they're done, they're not until the last page. And let me tell you, it was entertaining. Okay. Was it really a 5-star? Because that's what I gave it. No. Did it entertain me?
You don't usually give books too many 5-stars.
I don't mind a 5-star, but a thriller, I'm hard-pressed to get. I think I gave Ruth Ware 1 5-star read, and another one's like a 4 or 4.5. I don't do a lot of thrillers in terms of, like I do the Riley Sagers. I think I gave him 2 5s that I would mm-hmm. probably revoke if I reread, because I just hadn't read a bunch at that time. But yeah, that's a great option. But we're not here for numbers. We're here to...
I want to say I read 7 books in a week.
If you read 7 books in a week, I don't know. I'll get you something, a trophy or something, because that's a lot of books. That's more than you read last month.
Mm-hmm.
You read exactly 7 last month, didn't you? You heard it here first. She'll get some prize if she reads 7 books this week. It's 8 days, technically, so that's you got a 1 day to spare.
So I need to find all the audios that are 5 and 6 hours. Can you imagine reading that many audios within a week?
Yeah, I feel like I do every week. I love a 5-hour audiobook because it's a little over an hour for me.
Here you go.
And I'm like, yeah, I can knock 2 of these out. I did that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I had 2 short books and I knocked out both of them. I finished one and then I knocked out the second one while I was working. It wasn't great.
Do you remember the books you read?
I do remember when I'm in the mode of like, let's talk about it. But it takes me a minute sometimes. Like, I don't remember names, but neither do you. So hush. Name the 2 characters from our last book. Women of Tron.
Ellie and Oma.
Okay. Well, that's unfair.
And Murdaad. That's the end of that.
I don't remember any of the other ones either. Those are the only 3 I remember.
And then Ma with the Va.
Va.
What does that mean?
I think it means like, oh gosh.
I hope we're not secretly swearing.
Oh, well, listen, Spotify doesn't know other languages. We're good. The last prompt I want to talk about is Last In, First Out, because I think I can talk to that one. I would want to target one of the books that I recently picked up, which is probably going to be Fevered Star, which mm-hmm. I just purchased over here, which is funny because I just got it from the library the other day. Mm-hmm. 2nd book in a series, so it counts for a sequel. I just got it today, so it counts for the Last In, First Out. And I think it'd be fun to knock that one out. It's 2nd book in a sci-fi series. And Rebecca Roanhorse is such a cool, unique writer. That seems exciting for me.
So my last and first out is going to be The God of the Woods.
Oh, you're using that? Well, then you have to wait to read it.
But see, I don't want to wait that long for Good Dirt either. We just can't have the whole month be spring cleaning?
You can spring clean as much as you want. For the purposes of this readathon.
When do people actually do spring cleaning? Like, is it like for a week or like when people really, really spring clean?
I've never done it. My house is just a mess. But we like, spring clutter.
Oh, gosh. But when would people actually, like, do they
it's make sometime it? In April, May.
But it's usually April, but how long does it sit for?
I think a lot of times it's over a couple weekends, you know? Like, oh, let's clean out the garage. And then it takes you a couple weekends to get everything cleaned up and organized. But then, like, that's a project that you're done for the rest of the year, you know, this whole summer.
No, see, that wouldn't work for me. Okay, month.
You just clean the whole
month. Just for the whole month.
Clean out that Kindle. Your Kindle's getting heavy. 300 books is a lot.
No, it's because I feel like I've only used 2 gigs. I haven't used that many gigs.
The spring cleaning readathon is here. It starts April 20th on Easter, and we're going to kick off with reading sprints that evening. I don't know if Ashley's going to be joining us, but I'll be there. I think I'm going to start at 7, even if you're not there right at 7.
That's a Sunday, right?
It is a Sunday. Yeah, Easter Sunday. My family eats dinner kind of late, so I'm going to be like, all right, got to go.
No, I think we should be fine for that.
Yeah, so we're going to do that. We're going to kick off some reading sprints. Couple hours, just knock it out. You know, it's Sunday before going back to work on Monday after the long weekend. Maybe Ashley can finish a whole book in our reading sprint.
Very funny.
See, this is why we need video, because if you saw the look she just gave me, it's going to be fun. I promise you, as this was chaotic, but I promise you it's going to be a lot of fun. I promise you Ashley will follow the prompts.
Maybe.
She's going to follow the prompts. I can't tell you that she's going to read any of the books she talked about today.
All right. So let's move a little bit because we can go on and on about our awesome readathon, which is going to take place for the month. Caleb's face is like, no, it's not happening. It's going to happen for me. But bookish topics. I want to jump right into ARCs, Advanced Reader Copy. How do you feel with advanced reader copies?
I was super excited about NetGalley when I found out anybody can do this. You can sign up and you can apply and hopefully they approve you and you get an advanced reader copy. I will say that for somebody who reads and if something is grammatically incorrect, it will throw my brain off. These are unedited or loosely edited copies. They're rough to read, but if you can get past that, you are getting access to a book before it comes out. I love it. However, it adds this element of, I got to get it done before it comes out. Otherwise, I got access to an ARC and I didn't live up to the ARC part of it. And it stresses me out. Now we're adding to that stress because I'm going to be writing for BookTrib. I have deadlines. I have an editor I have to submit for. And so there'll be some deadline content. And then there's going to be other content. ARCs are great. But they do stress me out.
I think I need to be more serious with getting to my ARC space because when I first signed up back in 23, yeah, it was 23 when I found out about NetGalley and I was so excited. I was like, oh, I can get all these books. I didn't realize at the time that they actually had deadlines that you had to post by. And I am rushing to finish those, even though they're already out. And the ones that I had, there was one book that I just didn't like. I didn't like it at all. And when I asked for my feedback, I already told them I didn't like it. It wasn't for me. It was The Last Book in the World or something like that. Oh, and it's gone too. So I can't even tell you what it was. But the book was just weird. I didn't like it. And I feel like that happens a lot for me, especially when I'm forced to read and I don't have a way to listen. I feel like I will never get it done. So right now, I have like 6 of them.
Was that last book? My brain can't stop. Was that Stuart Turton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was. It was the Stuart Turton book. It was that one. I can't figure out where it is. But I did not like that one. And the one I had was actually an audio. And the audio was just like, it was worse than Mistborn. I mean, I probably shouldn't say that, you know, worse than.
In front of me.
But.
The Last Murder at the End of the World.
Okay. The narration.
Had nothing to do with books.
The narration on that was brutal. I could not make it through that one.
It's described as a high concept mystery novel. I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound.
It sounds like its own world.
Because murder triggers a world ending phenomenon. I mean, it's not, like, it's interesting, but I can see how that could be executed weirdly.
The audio was just really bad. And I actually responded to the thing and I was like, I couldn't get past the audio. Now, will I pick it up and read it? Maybe. Especially if they have a different narrator, I would give it another try. But no, I just couldn't.
I think that's important when we're talking about arcs. How do we respond to it? There are times where a narrator might be the problem or a style. I know I've had books where it wasn't edited very well. Y'all know because you've listened to this podcast. Sometimes you hear me breathing or swallowing, and I'm going to be a hypocrite and say, that is the worst possible thing. I have had a few books like that.
To have audio in general.
But terrible. I also don't have a multi-million-dollar company editing my podcast, so I am going to say that.
I think you're doing a great job with editing.
Thank you. Until this episode, because I don't know what we've just done, but...
You wanted to flush the format.
I'm rethinking it, but... It'll be fine. Anyways, arcs. I have one that's due in 2 days, y'all. And I say due because it's releasing. I want to post on publication day.
Okay.
I posted one last week on publication day, but I'm going to be honest. I purchased that audiobook to finish it the day it came out because I don't read. And this goes back to the conversation you talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't read with my eyes a lot. I'm a very poor and easily distracted reader. So if I can't get access to an audiobook, it's going to take me a minute. And I've been working on this book for a week and I'm 25% through. Mm-hmm. And I think I can get into that 60-70 mark and then come Tuesday, finish it through the audio. It's a good book. For a person who's going to read 150 books this year, I rely on audio for it because it's just the nature of who I am and the nature of the work I do.
So maybe we should go into the different arcs that you actually have.
I have two. I have one coming out next week, which is I don't think you said it on air, but it's the book that wouldn't burn. This is book 3, and it's called The Book That Held Her Heart. I read book 2 last year.
I've seen that.
It's coming out on Tuesday, and I love Mark Lawrence. This is a great series. I'm excited for the conclusion. I'm 25% of the way through, and I think it has to do with the nature of when he was writing this book. And it has a lot of context and commentary on book burning by the Nazis and how books were targeted because they were the voice of truth in a world that was becoming very fascist. And I'm reading this and I'm like, please tell me why 1930s Germany is the same as 2025 America. We are attacking the voices of our books and our authors and our people. And it's awful. And it's so crazy to read a fantasy novel that feels a little too close to home.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been a great book. It's a great series. And I can't wait to finish it.
I think it's very important for me to add that I think that is one of the only books that we have in common that I plan to read.
Really? It's
one of the only books.
First book, great. Second book, it's a sequel. And sequels, especially sequels in a trilogy, suffer.
That middle book is tough.
Because you can't give enough to really bring anything to a conclusion. Mm-hmm. And so then the third book is stellar, but those second books are brutal. Now, granted, there were some reveals. There's a reveal in the first book. And then book 2, we expand on it. Mm-hmm. And then book 3 is kind of a culmination of them. Definitely excited for you to check it out. I don't think you're going to love it as much as I did, but it's worth a shot.
I do actually have that one. That one's actually been on my Kindle for a while.
First book's pretty long. First book's probably 480 pages. It's all world building. Remember, first books, fantasy, you got to get through the world building. That one is really interesting. It has a great world, but it takes a minute to set up.
What else do you have due this month?
At the end of the month, I'm going to be working with BookTrib, and I got 2 books that come out in the beginning of May. I have to have one done by April 29th. Brighter Than Scale, Swifter Than Flame by Neon Yang. That one is going to be coming out, I think it's May 6th. I'm happy I'm getting this one. It's a little novella, queer Asian-inspired fantasy, dragon slayers, like just real cool, fun stuff. And the pages is 176 pages.
Oh, yeah, you'll knock that one out. Yeah.
So that one's going to be great. Can't wait. Beautiful cover. And then right after that, I got The Incandescent, which is Emily Tesh, and it's a dark academia.
Okay.
And that one's due the 9th of May so that I can get it published before it releases on May 13th.
Okay. I have 3 for the month of April. First up, The Mysterious Bakery on Rue Paris.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Evie Wood. She did The Lost Bookshop, and she had some other book. She writes books on books. I did read The Lost Bookshop, and I really liked it. I do like her books, so I'm looking forward to reading that one. That one's due April 8th, so I have a couple days for that. Have I started reading it? No. I have 2 for April 29th, The Defiant Queen and The Amalfi Curse. I think this cover is beautiful. That one's by Sarah Painter.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the one that...
Lost Apothecary?
Yes, The Lost Apothecary, as well as The London...
Seance Society.
Yeah.
Correct.
I did not know she wrote that one.
I DNF'd both of those books.
Oh. This makes me a little nervous.
I do like the premise of this new... I liked the premise of all those books.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the narration. So okay. Maybe you'll be okay with the book.
To read it.
Did not enjoy them.
Okay. And then the other one that I have is something I've never even heard of before, but I really like the cover. The Defiant Queen by L.R. Jackson. Not familiar with the author or anything, but the description really got me. It says, when love and loyalty collide, truth alone can reunite two long-lost loves in this royal second-chance romance.
Oh, it's second-chance romance. You better save it.
I love me a second-chance.
That's the fresh start. That's the second chance.
Technically, I could probably save it, but would I be pushing it? That's due April 29th. Definitely those three I have to get done this month.
You do read a lot with your eyes, but you mm-hmm. also rely a lot on audio narration. Are you finding it harder to get through the arcs?
Oh, yeah. I am struggle bus completely. Because especially when you have these arcs, you don't have the availability to listen. So like a chunk of my day is work, especially like if I'm working from home. I don't have people walking up to my desk or anything like that. I love when people come visit me. I don't want to say that I don't love when people visit me. But it's just something about like when I'm home and I can work on project or something and have that in my ear or TV, wherever I want it to play. But for these, if I have a deadline and I have to read it, it's hard.
Yeah, I agree.
That is so hard.
Yeah.
I do have those three arcs, and I didn't get to read it because my book was too late, but Good Dirt. So it's already been published. I wanted to read it in February. I just didn't make around to it. So that should probably be the book that I read next, maybe, because it already...
See, I would think you should focus on the books. It's not going to be any less published.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should focus on the books that have upcoming deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is...
It's still hard either way.
It's hard. I love talking about books. I love reading books. However,
so awesome.
It also can rob the joy out of mm-hmm. things. If you are, you know, oh, we've got this for the podcast. We've got this for your review. I don't want that. But I think it can still work in my favor where I'm going to read the books I want to read anyways. It's not like I'm reading books and they're just assigning me books mm-hmm. I don't want to read. I'm reading the books I want to read. The problem is sometimes I don't know when I want to read it.
Yeah.
And I am very much a person who's like, oh, couldn't wait for this. Pre-ordered that sucker, mm-hmm. gets delivered. 2 years later, it's in a spring cleaning readathon because I never read it. And I can't do that with these things. So I don't want it to rob me of my joy here. So mm-hmm. I'm trying to limit how many arcs I'm getting and the deadlines. My editor at BookTrib is so kind about it. She's like, is this too much? Blah, blah. And she's been great. I feel like because this is something I'm passionate about, I want to take it seriously. That's what I tell my kids. You have to take what's important to you seriously.
Absolutely.
But if it starts... to rob the joy of reading, and then I just don't want to pick anything up, I don't want that.
It should be something that you enjoy. And that actually goes into the next topic. The whole, did we have on here, like the bookish community thing with the influence of what other people...
Yeah.
That's kind of like the ever-changing TBRs and the feeling of
FOMO. The curated everything. Mm-hmm. I want to be reading these books because they're popular right now mm-hmm. and clout and chasing likes. That's not what we're here for. Mm-hmm. If you looked at our stats on our reading, you can tell we're not here for that. No. We got a group of dedicated people. We're not huge right now. Yes, we want to blow up, but I'm not going to curate and become something inauthentic to do mm-hmm. that.
Like, I think we did kind of picked up the God of the Woods. So we picked that one up for book club. It was something that we were both interested in reading. And I think our hype from that one, it didn't come from TikTok or anything like that, but it was the number one read for Amazon. And then it was the Lolly Book of the Month 2024. So that was my drive from wanting to read that book. I've been wanting to read it since it came out last year.
It's been on our lists and something we wanted to read. Mm-hmm. And while what we did was think, what would our members in our book club want to read? This has got a lot of popularity because of these factors versus I'm only going to read. And there's a lot of people out there, and I know it happens, where you're reading a book because it's popular on BookTube, and then you also didn't like it, but you don't tell people you didn't like it because then you dissent from the general consensus and you're not taking it. That's not it. I have no problem telling you if I don't like a book.
We know that.
I will let you know. I had a 1-star recently and I did not hold back. I'm not here to be ridiculously mean. You know, that takes a lot of effort, guts, and everything else to publish a book. Some books are just subjectively.
I was going to say subjectively because a book that you hated, maybe somebody loved. Ninth House for me. I didn't enjoy it.
Objectively, your opinion is wrong. There are books out there. I promise you, I can get you a couple over there. There's just, it's editing and a bunch of other things. The story is a lot there. But then sometimes you got people who just don't know how to write dialogue, don't know how to write characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm for second chances, third chances. You know what I mean? Like, I'm never going to read something from somebody like, this is a terrible writer, because I'm going to give you all the chances I can. And then sometimes you put out a book that I question everyone who touched it and their competence.
And you know where I'm going to go with this, right?
No, I don't. And I'm scared.
The Pumpkin Spice Cafe and all that. Perfect example. I did not like the first book, but I picked up the second.
Yeah, I still don't understand
that. I didn't care
that.
For the third book. I think I actually finished the third book, but I didn't really care for it. But now I am excited for the fourth. Because I've heard good things about it, and it's actually about a single dad, which is different because all the other ones is like, you know, a woman or whatever and whatever they're doing. But I am actually interested to read about this one with the single dad. I think it's different. It's a different take. I'm going to try it.
Can't imagine.
I'm going to use it as my palate cleanser.
Yeah, and that's just it, is that I don't think you were saying that those books that you didn't like were 1-stars and like terrible books.
They weren't my favorite. Like Spell Shop.
Yeah.
Spell Shop was not one of my favorites, but it was a palate cleanser. Because again, my books are usually more of the heavier reads. I just read them and I'm like, oh yeah, this is a great book. But yeah, they're palate cleansers for me.
And that's just it. Everybody's got to have different tastes. We're still trying to figure out some of our tastes and our tropes and our likes. I'm interested to see what comes out of some of these arcs as well, because we are taking a lot of chances on authors we don't know or maybe have not written. Maybe these are debuts. I'm not sure. There's a lot to those. And so I don't know how it's going to work out for me. We'll see. So we brought up a good point and we were talking off air and I'm like, no, 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 no. We flushed the format. Let's talk about this on air.
We got to record it.
I'm DNFing so many more books this year, like hard DNFs, because I'm not in the mood or they're just not for me. And I need to start picking those. I need to pick up on those failures faster because I am trying to read a ton of books this year, not just for numbers, but I want to get to a bunch of stuff that I want to read, that I'm excited about, and I can't waste my time on a book. So you said, I don't know why I don't want to DNF a book, but you DNF'd one of our book club books, and I said, why? Because that's a book club book, so like, if you're going to push through on something, that's the one you push through on. And
technically,
you
there were two. One of them was like an unofficial book club thing. I was think more so it was a podcast thing. So The Five Broken Blades, we both DNF'd that book.
Yeah, I can tell you exactly why on that one.
And The 13th Child, I DNF'd it. And I think I actually, just looking at the books that I did DNF, I see a pattern. I also DNF'd Crate. Tracy Wolf.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the other person that I was talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. Tracy Wolf is.
And Immortal Dark. There is a theme for these four books. Too much going on. It was simply too much. Like Five Broken Blades, it had five different characters in it. And it just seemed like they were everywhere.
I remember. Not me side-eyeing over here because she's about to try and read Mistborn. And there are so many evolving perspectives.
It's making me even more nervous to pick up the book.
I don't care. You still got to read it. I don't think that's a fundamental reason for you. Because I think you've read other complex books that have a lot going on. Mm-hmm. I just didn't like the writing style for Five Broken Blades. There were too many people.
I do want to try it again, though. I do want to say that I soft DNF. So I soft DNF Five Broken Blades. Mm-hmm. That was actually my second time trying to read it. The first time, I listened to the audio while trying to do a million and one other things, which is what usually gets me. When we read it together, that was my second time. It still was just like, what's going on?
I was so happy when you said we could DNF.
It's got to have five. I think it has five books because the fourth one just recently came out. The third one is supposed to come out this summer.
Why so fast?
I don't know. However, I think this book really has five different ones. And to me, if a book has that many, I feel like I need to give it a try.
Quantity and
because
quality.
I feel like I'm missing out on something.
But you are the person who says, I'm not going to fall into that hype.
And but that TikTok's not talking about it.
TikTok is talking the heck out of this thing.
Are they? Not in my stuff. I haven't seen anything.
It definitely is a TikTok book. And it's in the TikTok section at BAM. So I'm going to assume it is.
Well, see, I didn't know that. Maybe I will leave it alone then.
People putting out too many books too quickly is troublesome. Not that you can't put out a book a year. I certainly know authors that put out a book a year, maybe even a book in two different series in the same year, but not a book in the same series 6 months apart. What are you writing? There's nothing of substance there. And it's not going to be complex enough for me to feel like I'm getting a 5-star out of that. Mm-hmm. I just can't fathom.
And another thing for me with my books, DNFing,
it works.
I get at least to 50%.
That's too long.
But see, I think 30% when you're in a book, you should be like, okay, I know what's going on, or things should start to pick up by that 30% mark. I think giving 50, 60% is enough to say, hey, I'm at the height of this book and I don't see that it's matching, or better yet, I am over and this book should be coming down from its high necessarily. And that's usually when I end up DNFing. Like, I know Immortal Dark, I was 67, 70%, something like that. And I was at the end and I had no idea what was going on. It was just a little bit of everywhere. I will try it again this...
Readathon?
This fall. No, not Readathon.
You
no.
had it...
We're not adding anything to that. Not happening. But...
I will challenge you on this. When was the last time you sat down at a restaurant and you had a meal and ate 50% of it before you decided you didn't like it? You know. Pretty early on, man, this is a hit. Uh-huh. That is where I'm getting off the boat. 20 to 25%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I don't have books. I have DNF'd a book at 90% before because I was being stubborn and it was short and I was trying to finish it to get a number. And I was like, why? It was a T. Kingfisher, What Moves the Dead. And it's a retelling of the House of Usher, Fall of the House of Usher.
Okay.
Was not feeling it. Her four with the kind of characters that she writes, not for me. That being said, she's writing a book later this year. It's a horror book and I will be picking. Anyways, and that's one of those things where I can definitely DNF late. Mm-hmm. All of the books that I've DNF'd this year, by the way, there are six. Ghost Camera, short stories. I don't like short story collections. Mm-hmm. I figured it out. I want to read cover to cover, but it's not a narrative.
Right. It's not like an actual theme necessarily. There is one that I do want to read for short stories. The Stephen King one. You like it darker or something like that?
I don't think you're going to like it at all.
Is it really creepy?
I haven't read it. I don't like short story crafts. The other one was Grim Curiosities. It was like a weird, like Grim with double M. You think we're going to get some cool spooky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Victorian England. And it was like, it was turning into a romance kind of thing.
Okay.
I was out. I don't think I got past 5%, y'all.
Okay.
Only One Survives, 20% in, and they kept giving us glimpses of these teens and not the actual trapped in the woods, Yellow Jacket style. How are you going to survive kind of thing? Hated it. The Spirit Collection of Thorn Hall was actually a romance, I found out. Mm-hmm. And I was expecting, that was the one you sent me and had the cool cover with like, no, absolutely not. Everything about it. This World Is Not Yours. It was a short sci-fi horror. I should have been able to finish it. I don't even think it's above 100 pages. I got maybe 20% in. Not very long. Nothing was sticking. I did one yesterday. Red in Tooth and Claw. Supposed to be horror. And it's not. It's a Western. And it's YA. And I could have known from those two coming. Who wants to read a young adult Western that is masquerading like a horror? But it's not. I think that book's going to have a good following because it is queer. There's LGBTQ representation where it's a young girl who knows because her grandfather died, she's being sent home. They'll never let her live on that homestead on her own. So she's pretending to be a boy. And her grandfather knew that. Now that he's gone, she goes to this home where some things are supposed to be happening. I read some reviews and people were like, that stuff doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I jumped off that. Why am I DNFing so early? I got too many books to read. And if see, it's not, like, is that book going to, you have 300 books on your Kindle.
Well, I don't have to technically read all the books on my Kindle.
That's why you got them.
But I don't have to read them all.
I think about this. If I read 100 books a year and I'm 30, I'm going to be 37 this year. So let's say I've been reading since I was 35 and I get to live till 80. And I do this consistently. That's 50 years. That's a lot of books. I've got that many on my TBR right now. I don't have time to be reading books that I'm not enjoying.
That goes back to the ever-changing TBRs. Mm-hmm. Who says we have to read all of these books right now?
My brain.
Well, tell it to stop.
Good luck with that. I take pills for that and it doesn't work. I want to read all of these books because I'm excited about them, but I know that some of these books are not going to hit and I should have the freedom to decide I don't want to read them at all.
Absolutely.
But you can DNF when you want to. I'm not waiting until 50% to do that.
I think I get to the point where I try to figure out what's going on because I'm not doing it for a number. I only have 60 this year, but I'm already at 16. So I'm doing way better than last year where I finished the last one literally like the last day. I struggled to get that. But I still don't quite know what makes me DNF the book. I just feel like if I'm bored with it, or maybe it doesn't fit the mood anymore. Mm-hmm. So what was the book called? Before the Coffee Gets Cold. I read it, but I did put it down for a while because I was okay. I don't feel like there's any action right now. Let me put it down. And I picked up something else and then I finished the last few hours on a random day. But yeah, I don't quite know exactly what makes me DNF the book.
Listeners, are you Team Ashley or Team Caleb? Because I'm trying to DNF these books and get them out of here if they're not hitting.
I think they're going to go for Team Caleb on that one.
I don't know. DNFing is a very...
Team Ashley for the books, though.
Don't start.
I've had some winners.
And she's going to DNF my damn Mistborn, and I'm going to be...
I am not going to DNF that book. I am not going to DNF it. I promise it will probably take me a while to get through, but I will not DNF it. I have the audio already queued up. It's in my Audible. And then I also have the single book on my Kindle, as well as the trilogy on my Kindle.
See, now that all I'm hearing is you're committing to three books.
Because it's on there doesn't mean that I have to read it.
Do you DNF your books? Why do you DNF your books? I think this is a great way to end the show.
It makes people think, why do you DNF a book?
This whole point of this podcast was let's explore our reading further, learn more about us. And I will say in the past, I was very much I'm already 50% of the way through. I should just finish it because I've already invested. Let me just knock off a number on my list. And now I'm like, but if I get out early enough and I don't like this book, do I pick it up again in the future or not? Isn't what I'm saying, but if I can spend the time, because it takes me a day or two to read a book and I don't want to waste a day or two and then not even get the number to check it off. And let me tell you, I've gotten far in a book and DNF'd it and still counted that in my reading goal. Because if I read 90% of that book, I counted that book. I finished that book.
Okay, so A Court of Thorns and Roses.
That's the first one.
It doesn't pick up until about 30-35%. Because the very first part of the book is just so slow. But if you didn't get to that 50% mark, then you wouldn't be excited for the rest of the book nor the rest of the series.
I also think it's tough because this goes into genres. The first third of a first book in a fantasy series is all
world building,
character actually. Development. In the case of Stormlight, which is over 800 pages, that entire book is world building and character development on one real character. So you're telling me there's five books in this. It's taken the better part of two decades to finish. And the first book, a whole 20% of it is world building. And I didn't give it five stars. Actually, it's really like a 4.5 or something because it's just too heavy on that. I'm a fantasy reader.
That's the beauty of fantasy books, though, because fantasy books, you can't just jump in and change the whole entire world.
My brain wants that so bad. I want to be in a book.
No, you can't. You have to be patient when you start
like,
a fantasy
book. I want, you know, the thing they put on aircraft carriers for jets where it flings them forward a little bit. Mm-hmm. Then that's what I want. I want to be flung forward into a book. Give me the wiki on a series so I can learn the world building and start on page 100.
You know what I need you to read? And we'll end this on that note. I need you to read When the Moon Hatched. You got to read it. You have got to read.
That doesn't feel like an April read for me. It doesn't have to be.
It needs to go for your spring cleaning.
I do own it. But it's...
See, you own it.
It's heavy.
It is not heavy.
It's not heavy emotionally. It is high prose.
It's definitely not heavy.
Again, not emotionally. But it is high language.
No, it's not.
Don't lie to me. I've read it. I started it. Water Moon's another one of those where both books are nestled into this section where I'm like, I want to get to it.
Water Moon, you can wait. But When the Moon Hatched, that book, I know you will like.
I do, too. And that's not why I'm not reading it.
It's fantasy. It's a completely different universe, just like Sanderson. It has its own unique magic system. Read it. All readers need to read When the Moon Hatched.
That's a bold statement. Do you like it that much?
Yep. I can't wait for book two.
I think it's coming out next year.
I need it to come out like soon. I don't know when it comes out, but I'm ready for it.
Well, who's Team Caleb and who's Team Ashley? Because Team Ashley has been winning everything lately. So Caleb needs a win. DNF some books with me. Put it down in the comments or head over to our socials and just engage with us there and let us know. Like, why do you DNF your books? I want to know.
And do you like that we flushed our format?
Don't respond on that one. I don't even
know this.
I don't even know if I like that we flushed the format yet. It was a little chaotic, but I told you, you're just hanging out with two people talking for an hour.
Absolutely.
It was fun. We had a lot of stuff we want to talk about, and it's nice to just not have the pressure. Just like we talked about the pressure of deadlines. I don't want to have the pressure of like, what are we going to talk about on? Because that's going to rob the joy of this podcast. And so today we just talked and laughed and got a good amount of like brevity. Next episode will be a little more structured, I'm sure.
Because we'll be talking about our April recap.
We will not have an episode.
Oh my gosh, April, really? So it'll be our April recap plus how our spring cleaning went. This next one's going to be loaded.
Yeah, we're filming after the last day of spring cleaning. We'll know how that went. We'll talk about what we read a little bit ahead. You won't get anything from us. You'll get this one and then you won't get anything till beginning of May.
Yep.
But head over to our socials. We're doing the readathon so you can engage with us there. Just hang out and have a good time. Ashley's staring at something out the window.
I thought somebody was walking a skunk.
And that's going to end it.
This really looks like a skunk.
We flushed the format and all our brain cells. We're done. It's been fun.
Absolutely. And I have enjoyed flushing the format.
I think it was needed. Let us know what you think, and we'll do it again occasionally. We will still have a little more laid back episodes coming forward, maybe with a little more structure than this one, but I like just hanging out.
I think it's fun.
Great conversations offline.
Anytime we talk about books, it's a good time.
Yeah, we have great conversations offline all the time. And it's so frustrating because we don't film them. So that's why I was like, you know what? Let's just talk.
Yes.
We talked for an hour and 15 minutes.
That's good.
But
that's perfect.
We're going to sign off for today and I'm going to get to work on editing
this. It's going to be a masterpiece.
And I guess we're going to sign off and I'm going to say until next time.
Happy reading.
Goodbye.